Well, I'm really not sure how to follow that, actually. Yeah, you want to see that move? What a great day. I'm going to try to preach today. We're going to get back into 1 Peter next week. But today, we just wanted to just stand and just this moment of celebration. And there's a passage of Scripture that is on my heart today. As we process and just embrace the moment of completing 75 years and moving into the next 75 years. You know, 75 years from now, probably very few of us will be running around here. But if Jesus tarries, man, the gospel still needs to be proclaimed out of here and in this place. And you know, what we do today sets the stage for that. And I don't want us to miss that. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 3. And this is a perfect, to me, it's just on my heart as I think about this prayer that is given to us in Scripture. Ephesians 3, starting in verse 14. Let's stand together. And I'm going to be quoting this from the old NIV. So I know a lot of times I use the ESV, but this is one of those prayers that are on my heart, and I memorized in the old NIV, and I can't switch. Sorry, I can't. It's hard to do that. But let's look at this. Paul writes this: "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." And this is the word of the Lord, isn't it? Thank you. You may be seated. Now, I'm so very grateful to be standing here today. You know, on Friday afternoon, I went by the Mission Center and just kind of sat in the parking lot. It was kind of, there was a little rainstorm coming through, and I was just sitting in my truck. And I was just thinking about, just about all the ways that that this body is serving the Lord. I went Friday earlier that day I saw our people stocking the refrigerators and shelves, and it was when the Mission opened on Friday, there was a line out the door. And there were people there that were coming, and I saw one of our volunteers that was sharing the gospel and listening, taking time for somebody in our community that just needed some time, sharing the gospel. And I just was so grateful to watch that. And then, you know, just processing the Passion Week this year. Oh my goodness. The way you all serve the Lord here, the creativity of the vision for Passion Week, the creativity of changing this room like we did. And do you know what we experienced that week? It was a modern day revival. We had over 1,500 people that walked through here during those four nights where we shared the gospel up close and personal. And God used you. What great job. I just want to stand in front of you and say, Great job. Yeah, give yourself, I mean, I know we're not, you know, we're thankful to the Lord. And I do want to be careful on a day like today not to make this about us. But God has moved among you, and you're serving the Lord so well. And on Easter Sunday, oh my goodness, we had over 2,400 people worship with us on Easter. I don't think we've ever had that kind of impact in the history of our church. 12 baptisms on that day. I just want to say to you, and let's just stop and think for a second. And I do want you to recognize and just say to you, great job, because the Lord is using you. But I also want to just stop and be in awe of the fact that God has moved among us. God has been faithful to us, and God has worked in us. You know, we're 75 years old today. I want you to look at whoever's next to you and go, you look good for 75. I mean, do that. Some of you may be 75. You may have seen that birthday before. I don't know. But Charlie, I don't know how old you are. I mean, have you hit 75 yet?
I'm working on it.
Okay, keep working, man. Keep working. But happy birthday as a church. You know, Owosso, you know what it means, right? It means end of the trail. And I think about our story. How 75 years ago, there was about just a few families that came from First Baptist Sperry to start this church. And we started in a tent, and there's a picture of Carl Worley helping, who died several years ago, was our last founding church member. And he's holding up the tent, cleaning it out. And then it went into a Kwanzaa hut, and just an amazing history of our church. Just a few families started. For the first 30 years, our church was about 100 or less. And then, you know, in the 70s, this really hip missionary from Costa Rica named Dale Blackwood moves here and is called to be the pastor here, and the church began to connect with the community. We moved from that early location way outside of town. I mean, and people were like, why are we moving so far outside of town to 86th Street, to what you now know as El Tequila, right? That was way outside of town back then. And if you go to El Tequila and look up in the foyer right by the fountain, you can still see our choir mics, okay, right? That was our former church. I'm glad they put the bar at the back, right? But you know, that was our first, I mean, Dale had a vision. Look, we gotta expand. And then God blessed during his tenure here. And man, we get to love Sue. I saw her last night, still in our church. And Dale is in heaven waiting for us. He's waiting for us. And then, you know, Roger Ferguson comes, and the community started to grow, and we moved way outside of town again, right here, right? That was way outside of town. And the church began to embrace this calling to grow, to grow where we're planted. God planted us here. And now here we are. Oh, my goodness. When I think about what God has done over even just the last 6 years, as he has entrusted us and blessed us and moved us to see where we're planted. And today, oh my goodness, today, I'm so grateful. I mean, right now, there's a service that's us going on in Tulsa. Misael is preaching. And after he preaches in English, he's going to go preach in Spanish today. And that's why we're having Spanish on everything, because, you know, the Spanish population, Spanish-speaking population is growing here. And I love how this church is how God is working and God is moving. And I just want to thank you, because 10 years ago, I'd never been a senior pastor before. And you've been patient with me and let me grow into this spot, and And you know, there's so many stories that I don't want to forget over the past 10 years. And I think about this, I just want to say I'm so very grateful. But let's look at this passage. Look at verse 14. Because I think this passage, you know, not only speaks to a gratitude of how God has moved, but it prepares us for what's ahead. And I love Paul's posture here. For this reason, I kneel before the Father. You know, it was common practice back then to stand and pray. But this was a moment that Paul's like, I got to hit my knees. You know, the burden for people and the calling for, in Paul's life is something that I want to rub off on us, because he was so burdened. He's like, for this reason, I kneel before the Father. I mean, if you look at the context of Ephesians, he's writing to the church in Ephesus, where they're called to further the gospel, and the church at this time was growing and was seeing some people come to Christ and starting to see some influence. And Paul was like, man, we've got work to do. And as I look around, I think we're in the same boat. There's work to do, because I'm overwhelmed at the lostness that I see. And this is why Paul is like, for this reason, Ephesian church here in Owosso and Tulsa, I kneel before the Father. And he puts it in context for him and his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I mean, you got to realize that we are a part of a big story here. God is at work in a massive way, and he has been all through history. And it's amazing to me that here we find ourselves in this time in history, in this place, for a reason. And we got work to do. And God could have chosen any point in history for us to live, any place in the world for us to be born. And here we all are finding ourselves here with a job to do. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I can only imagine heaven. This buddy of mine that I serve at the IMB with has written this book called The Glory Now Revealed. I know I'm a broken record. I've recommended that like five times now. But he talks about heaven is this going to be this amazing moment where we learn and where we see the story of God, and we see how God used us in our time in history, and we join together with all the saints to praise the Lord and how we got to serve him. And I can only imagine as Dale Blackwood's waiting for us. And all those that have gone to be with the Lord, that served the Lord with us, that are going to be like, hey, we got to be, we were in Owosso and Tulsa during this time in history. Heaven's going to be all that, us together. And Paul points to this. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. As I think about this passage, the first point, if we're following the notes, I know those that are following on my notes have no idea where I am on the notes I gave them. But let's look at that first thing today. You know, as I think about this passage, as we move into the future, let's cultivate a close and personal relationship with Christ. You know that God gives us that? He gives us this relationship that's close and personal. That's why Paul had learned to pray, and he had learned to connect with the Lord. And as I look at the days that we are in, and as I think about what's in front of us, I'm like, oh Lord, I'm so thankful that we get to have a close and personal relationship with God. And you know, when I think about the problems that are in front of us, I don't know if you've noticed, but there's a few challenges in front of us. But hey, you remember, I'm in my quiet times, I'm reading through Job, and I'm seeing over and over again how God's reminding his people, hey, if I'm with you, all right, I'm with you, we got this. No matter how big the enemy is. And when I think about walking with the Lord and I think about where we need to be as a church, let's be reminded that God's with us. God is moving us. God's strengthening us. Let's learn to connect with the Lord personally. When I look at what's ahead of us, we've got to connect with the Lord. Let's learn to listen to his voice. I loved Art's video. He's running sound right now. And you know what? God has spoken through his word. And this is why as a church that when I think about celebrating our 75th anniversary, I was driven to the word of God. Because God's word's a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. It's the way we understand and discern the wisdom of God, the voice of God. Let's learn to listen to his voice. And I love verse 16, and I pray that out of his glorious riches, think about this, out of God's glorious riches, that he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And as I think about moving ahead and as I think about the reason this passage is so important for us, look, we've already learned to be a church that lives by faith, not by sight. And as we move into the next 75 years and set the course for that next 75 years, what we do today, this is something I want in your heart today, what we do today influences how we live tomorrow, right? And so let's be a people of faith. There's a story I don't want to ever forget. It happened right here. I'll never forget when Calvary Baptist Church in Tulsa approached us. And two times before, the pastors there, two different pastors approached me and said, "Hey, Chris, I want to talk to you about merging together. And look, we're in trouble." And I was like, "Man, I don't know. I don't know. We'll think about it." And then the third time, Johnny Kurtzinger calls me. "Chris, you got to come meet with me." And I remember getting on the highway at 96th Street. And I said to the Lord, "Lord, is Tulsa our responsibility?" And that was a moment that I felt, I mean, not audibly. It didn't come through my radio or anything like that. But I felt like the Lord just said to me, "What'd you just say?" And I was like, "Nothing. I didn't say anything. I'm going to Tulsa right now." And let's not forget this. I remember as we were meeting about that, should we do this? This is uncomfortable. Man, what do we do here? And let's remember, we were preparing to build the mission, right? We were preparing for that. And we were committed to doing it debt-free, right? We were just over $500,000 away from having the money to build the mission center, which I stood in Friday. And I remember a meeting, one of our church members says, "Chris, do you think if we embraced Tulsa, this would slow us down for the mission?" And I remember going, "I don't know. What if it speeds it up? I don't know. The question is, should we do this?" And remember, if you were here, we said, "All right, Lord, we think we're supposed to do it." And we took that step of faith. And do you know that 2 weeks later, we took up a one-day offering, and we took up the largest offering in the history of our church that was just over $500,000. And we started the mission, building it right then. I know, God worked, God moved. And folks, look, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And then look at the next part of verse 17. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Man, this moves me. As Paul prays for the Ephesians, that, you know what, if this lost world, if we can love them in such a way that they that we can grasp, that if his church can grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and if we can grasp that we know this love that surpasses knowledge, let me tell you, that produces a passion and a service and a faithfulness that changes the world. You know what I pray as we move into the next 75 years? That we are a people that grasp, that we are moved by love. We love the world we're in. We love the people in this community, in this city so much. And we work together to point them to this Savior who can save them. And why do we work so hard at that? Is because we have come to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Hasn't his love for us changed us, shaped us, moved us? Hasn't it broken us? Hasn't it caused us to look at a lost world and live in pursuit of them versus fight against them? And this is why I pray that we serve this community. We love people. And you know, tonight we're gonna, you know, part of that is the second point is I wanna, this moves me to work to understand the needs of the people around us. And this is something I pray that moving into the next 75 years, that we continue to understand where we live, understand the needs of our community, understand the ways to connect with people and to serve one another, serve our neighbors, serve our coworkers, minister to and faithfully share the gospel where we're planted. You know, I'm proud of our church. I want to show you a picture. We're learning to connect with our neighbors. That's one of the things we've got to do. And that's why we're about to start the renovation of the Tulsa Fellowship Hall. I think there's a picture of it. I'm thankful for our church for this. We're about to start the renovation in Tulsa on this. And do you know that this church, we have been faithful over the last several years to save that money, put money aside for future spending? You know what? I really need to change my language, because what we need to learn to do is prepare for future spending. And we've done this. In this project, we already have the money for, and we're just waiting for stuff to get in on some ship somewhere in the Gulf, you know? Drives me crazy. Unload the stinking ship. You know, but sorry, that seemed, I hope that didn't sound bad. But I'm thankful for us, you know. Did you realize that when I got here, do you realize that this space was supposed to be temporary space? Do you remember? I don't know if you remember that. This is supposed to be temporary space. This needs to be our permanent space. It really does. Because there's some things that we need to build. Like student stuff and children's stuff on this place, but it's, we need to make this place permanent, and so we have our campus development team is working on a four-year design. I think we have a picture. We're going to talk about this tonight. We have a picture of maybe a new four-year design as we make this place permanent. And there's a couple of pictures, a couple of angles there, but we also need to renovate this room. And this is a big picture that our campus development team's working on, and we'll talk about this more tonight. But one of the things that we want to work on in this room is redoing this space, making it permanent. And this design gives us more seats in this room to prepare for more seats. oh my goodness, it gives us a permanent baptistry, so we don't have to fall down getting off that one. You know, I can't wait for that, because we're going to be using the baptistry, and I'm looking forward to that. And let's not forget, as we move into the future, we've decided as a church that we're gonna deal with inflation over debt. Let's learn to pay for things in advance. Let's learn that discipline. It's right stewardship. We've learned already how not to be slave to the lender. And so, folks, look, let's learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. As we move into the next 75 years, as I look back at some of our history, the Lord has led us. The Holy Spirit has moved us. And moving forward, we've got to continue to listen to the Holy Spirit. Let's think about this prayer. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, Paul prays, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established, think about that, rooted and established in what? In love. That you may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. And I love this, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. You see what that is? That's this gospel adventure that God's called us to, that I want to fill you, I want to strengthen you, I want to empower you. And I'll tell you, even though I look at the cultural winds that are kind of freaky, let me tell you something. Let's never forget that God's going to give us power to face whatever comes our way. I think about the people we're walking with right now that are facing tough diagnoses and difficult challenges. Hey, the Holy Spirit comes in and helps in those moments. And then, you know what? I love verse 20. Look at verse 20. Paul ends this prayer like this, and I probably ought to end this pretty soon. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. I don't know. Sometimes as a pastor, I can imagine quite a bit. But let's consider what God's word says. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. Note this, according, not to our own power, not according to what we can do, right? According to his power that is at work within us. Folks, don't you want to be a church where God is at work within us? Don't you want to be a servant, a father, a mother, a grandparent? Oh my goodness, I'm going to be a grandparent in less than 3 weeks. Are you kidding me? I am officially married to a grandmother. That's crazy to me. Most beautiful grandmother I've ever seen, by the way. But oh my goodness. Him be glory in the church and Christ Jesus throughout all generations. You know, as we move into the next 75 years, I pray that we have a generational vision, that we have a generational mindset, that we, you know, let's think about this, that we pass on the stewardship right now of 35 acres. I mean, think about this. You realize that God has called us to steward 20 acres right here, 10 acres off Garnett, 5 acres in Tulsa, as gospel witnesses. Hey, folks, surely we're not going to mow 9 acres for the next 10 years, right? Over there. Surely we're going to do something with this. Surely we're not going to just sit here and just stay the same. No. We're going to trust the Lord. And you know, when I look at this, as we move into the next 75 years, we shouldn't just trust the Lord. Let's boldly trust the Lord. Don't you want to be I want to be a grandfather that my granddaughter looks at and goes, I like him. I want her to like me, right? And I'm going to do my best to be a cool grandpa. Padre is my name, which I think is very cool. It's my grandpa name. But you know what I want my granddaughter to see and learn? My grandfather, my padre, trusted the Lord boldly. That's the legacy I want to live. And so can I just challenge us? As I think about this passage, let's expect the Lord to lead us. Going into the next 75 years, let's expect God to lead us together. Let's expect the Lord to strengthen us. He's going to strengthen us. Let's expect him to do that. Let's expect the Lord to provide for us. That's our calling. And, you know, I do want you to know how grateful I am to get to be your pastor. It's crazy how quick time goes. How time changes us. You know, I came here 10 years ago, and I had a third grader, a sixth grader, and a freshman in high school. And oh my goodness, it seems like it's gone like that. And the other day, Robin was tearing up over the fact that our nest is empty. And I said, she's crying a little bit. And I said, well, honey, you still have me. And she kept crying. That wasn't really the, I wasn't. So I took my shirt off and said, hey. No, I didn't. I didn't do that. I'm sorry. That was not in my notes. I'm getting this, so I need to stop. Yeah. I'm so sorry. I should not have done that. But we got to end. We got to end the service. But here's how we need to end. We cannot miss this. We've got to get on our knees and pray for the next 75 years. So, look, if you don't know Christ today, I wish I could take my heart and put it in you and give you a taste of how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. You could know it. But today in this invitation, let's kneel before the Father and say, Lord, here you go. All that we have is yours. All of it. With joy, we give you every resource in our church, in our lives. We just give it to you. Because I'm finding over and over again, as I just give my life and my all I have to the Lord, oh my goodness, there's no greater joy, no greater blessing, no greater adventure. So can we just pray for the Lord to lead us, provide for us, move us? Let's get on our knees. Our altars are going to be open. Maybe you don't need to, maybe it's hard for you to come and kneel up here. That's okay. But some of you can, and we should, right? Let's kneel. And let's pray for faithfulness for the next 75 years. Would you stand where you are? Joe, lead us. Lord Jesus, I pray that we would be a people that lead from our knees. Lead us, Lord. In Jesus' name, move us now. Amen.